It's called Enough.
Sharing that with us. That was beautiful. Let us pray. Father, thank you for being more than enough for all of our needs and our wants and being more than we can imagine. Lord, bless these words that they might glorify you this day. I ask that you would open the hearts, ears, and the minds of your people through the Holy Spirit as we honor and worship you. Let what is spoken here this day be yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't have anything to start out with because she's already explained where the song came from, but thank you for doing so. This song is sung by Barlow Girl, which is a contemporary Christian group, which gives a wealth of inspiration to my family and others, I'm sure. The song, if you're familiar with Chris Tomlin, he wrote the song, along with Louis Giglio. I don't know who he is, but he did a good job there. Well, as most of you... I'm sure, as most of you know, if you know me, I love music. Sometimes when I'm driving down the road and a song like Blessed Be the Name comes on, you know, we sing that here on Wednesday nights. I've been known to holler out loud and or slap the steering wheel and or honk the horn. Whatever strikes me, just out of pure excitement. I get excited about the Lord, and I hope you, the congregation, do too. Have moments like these, moments that you can't contain your enthusiasm for the Lord. When you ponder thoughts of all our Savior has done for us, thoughts such as these: you satisfy me with your love. You are my supply, my breath of life. You are my reward. Sorry, folks. I just get right here. It gets me. You're worth living for. You're my sacrifice of greatest price. You're my coming king. You're everything. But you are still more awesome than I know. It is the truth that we feel when hearing these songs that speaks to our hearts. They speak to our personal experiences in life, whether big or small, where we have realized the need for a Savior. When I first heard this song enough, it just got a hold of me and squozed my heart real good. Yes, that was squoze. Some form of squeeze. A friend of mine told me that word. As a matter of fact, if you call my wife's cell phone, there you go. This is the very song you will hear while expecting a ringtone. Well, it is my desire here today to share with you scripturally that God is able to do more than enough, more than we ask and more than we can imagine. Using acrostics, I will break down the word enough, E-N-O-U-G-H. If you're not familiar with acrostics, this method takes each letter of a particular word and uses it as an alphabetic script in which the letters in the text spells out another message. Because there are so many wonderful words I could use to describe God here today, I have chosen only a word, or at most a couple of words, for each letter of enough. The words that best describe the character or characteristics of God. We start with the letter E. God is enough because He is everything. Colossians 1:16-17 says this about Jesus. For by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. God is not only the creator of the world, but He is also its sustainer. In Him, everything is held together, protected, and prevented from disintegrating into chaos. Because Christ is the sustainer of all life, none of us are independent from Him. The Apostle Paul explains here in Colossians that both the spirit and physical world were created by and are under the direct authority of Christ Himself. Christ has no equal and no rival. He is Lord of all. Plainly stated, He is everything. Another E word that must be shared, God is eternal. Revelation 1:8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord. Who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Also, Revelation 4:8 says, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And Isaiah 44:6 from the Old Testament also states, Thus says the Lord, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. The Lord Jesus introduces Himself as the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet, the beginning and the end. He spans time and eternity and exhausts the vocabulary of excellence. He is the source and goal of creation, and it is He who began and will end the divine program in the world. He is and was and is to come, eternal in His being and the Almighty in power. Without Him, you have nothing that is eternal, nothing that can change your life, nothing that can save you from your sin. God is enough because He is eternal. So we have the E drawn out from the word enough. Moving on to the letter N, God is enough because He promises in Hebrews 13:5, Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. This passage of Scripture from the New Testament is also found in the Old Testament, Joshua 1:5. Joshua had been given the task by God to lead the Hebrew people into the promised land after Moses had died. God's great promise to Moses, I will be with you, in the book of Exodus 3:12, is now given to Joshua. Of special comfort to Joshua would have been the fact that God would be with him in the same way He had been with Moses. Joshua had been present during the many demonstrations of God's presence in Moses' life and would have known how significant this promise was. In much of the same way, God is with us today. Just as Joshua, we have many difficult decisions to make, difficult people to face, and many temptations to endure. We become content when we realize God's sufficiency for our own needs. The only antidote for us is to trust God to meet all our needs, no matter what they be. We must lean on the promise that God is always with us. God is enough because He will never leave us nor forsake us. The next letter in the word enough is O. There are three words here I would like to share with you. God is omnipresent. That is the ability to be present in every place, at any and or every time, unbounded or universal presence. 1 Kings 8:27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. Isn't it amazing that even though the heavens can't contain God, He is willing to live in the hearts of those that love Him? The God of the universe takes up residence in His people. We have the capacity to contain God within us. We are God containers. God is omniscient. This word means to have the capacity or the ability to know everything infinitely. Now, I know there's some people out there that claim this, and especially I've heard our preacher Fred claim this same thing. That's all I have to say on that issue. I can't. It's impossible for anybody else to know everything. Amen. God is omnipotent. Revelation 19:6 says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." The word omnipotence means literally all power. This is power with no limits, unlimited power. God has the power to do all things. Genesis 17:1 declares that He is almighty. Genesis 18:14 says that nothing is too hard for the Lord. Job 42:2 states that He can do everything. Isaiah 26:4 provides that He has everlasting strength. Matthew 19:26 allows that with God all things are possible. He has the power to raise the dead. He has the power to save you from your sins. He has the power over death and hell. All hail the power of Jesus' name. I think you get the point. He is omnipotent. Amen. We move on to the letter U. God is enough for us. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, you and me." Paul in the book of Romans uses these words, "Christ died for us while we were yet sinners," to show man's utter helplessness in the face of his all-encompassing sin. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. This means that circumstances did not bring Christ to the cross, but the divine will and plan of God did. At the time of a man's greatest need, nothing but the blood of Jesus would satisfy that need. The distinctive quality of God's love is that it operates irrespective of merit. Human love is given to those who are lovable, but God's love embraces even the unlovely. Adam's sin passes sin and death on to the whole human race, but Christ's obedience gives righteousness and life to all who trust Him. In our first birth, our natural birth, we became condemned children of Adam. But in our second birth, our spiritual birth, we are the forgiven children of God. God loved us so much that He sent His Son to die for us. God loves us just the way we are, but He loves us too much to leave us the way that we are. If God loved us when we were helpless, ungodly enemies, how much more will He love us now that we are His children? By His blood, through the death of His Son, we have been justified, that is, declared righteous and reconciled, meaning our state of alienation from God has been changed. Believers are no longer enemies of God. They are at peace with God. God is enough for us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that we are reconciled to Him. The next letter, G. God is enough because of His grace. Grace is God's free and unmerited favor for sinful humanity. We do not do anything to earn it. Or, as we heard this past Wednesday night from our well and loved, respected Pastor Fred, grace is getting what we don't deserve. If you were all ears, Fred shared with us the three types of grace that we experience: prevenient, justifying, and sanctifying grace. God's prevenient grace is with us from birth, preparing us for new life in Christ. Justifying grace is conversion or being born again. When we experience God's justifying grace, we come into a new life in Christ, but we do have free will or freedom of choice. We are free to accept or reject God's justifying grace. There also is sanctifying grace. After we have accepted God's grace, we are to move on in God's sustaining grace towards perfection. It is possible to backslide. We cannot just sit on our laurels, so to speak, and claim God's salvation and then do nothing. We are to participate in the means of grace and continue to grow in Christ's life. I'm sorry, in Christian life. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. God is enough because of His grace. The last letter in the word enough is H. God is enough because He has sent the Holy Spirit. John 16:7-14. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father. You see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. If Jesus had not gone back to the Father, the Holy Spirit would not have come. Christ's presence on earth was limited to one place at a time. His leaving meant He could be present to the whole world through the Holy Spirit. Three important tasks of the Holy Spirit are: one, convicting the world of its sin and calling it to repentance; two, revealing the standards of God's righteousness to anyone who believes, because Christ would no longer be physically present on earth; and three, demonstrating Christ's judgment over Satan. The disciples did not fully understand the promises of Jesus until His death and resurrection. The Holy Spirit then revealed truths to the disciples that they wrote down in the books that now form the New Testament. This same Holy Spirit is what's inside of us today, that we may know God in our lives. Holy Spirit is the H in enough. Now let me share with you a fellow that is absolutely sure God is able to do more than enough, more than he asked, and more than he can imagine. John, you ready?
The Lord is good to me, and so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need, the sun and rain and an apple seed. Yes, He's been good to me. I owe the Lord so much for everything I see.
I'm certain if it weren't for him, there'd be no apples on this limb. He's been good to me. Oh, here am I, neath the blue, blue sky, doing as I please, singing with my feathered friend, falling with the bees. I wake up every day as happy as can be, because I know that with his care, my apple trees, they will still be there. Oh, the Lord is good to me.
Now, that is some juggling act. Now, I know this depiction of Johnny Appleseed is only a cartoon, but I believe it is an accurate representation of someone that completely and fully relies upon God. It is possible to be that happy. I have seen people that are this happy. It just depends on how much you trust the Lord. Did you see how uncrowded and simple his life is? Unlike this Disney production, the day in which we live, our lives are just too crowded with too many things, with so many distractions and decisions to make. It just seems as though there is not enough time to do all we want to do. So where is all this going? Folks, I want to ask you a few questions this morning. It's getting serious in here, isn't it? These questions are of the utmost importance, and it is with concern that I ask them. With this word enough that you've heard over and over today, here at Francis Asbury, are we doing enough for God? As your lay leader here at this church, it is my responsibility and duty to be a good example, to support our pastor as best I can, and to be a cheerleader for the body of Christ. That is you and anyone outside these doors. I believe that I have let you down and the Lord down on several occasions. And speaking of our pastor, he loves the Lord. Fred loves the Lord so much that I don't think there is anything he wouldn't do for his Lord or you here today. I can prove it. At the very least, I've seen him preach from the top of this roof out here, just so people would come to church. Folks, what are we going to do to support our pastor? But ultimately, what are we going to do for our Lord that laid his life down for us, that we may be spared from eternal destruction? Our Lord calls us to be his body, to be the hands and the feet and the voice of Jesus. Are we going to learn and equip ourselves with the knowledge and means to make disciples of Jesus Christ? Or are we going to be complacent and obstinate, somewhere that we can barely hear the voice of Jesus echoing around? I know in my own life, in this journey of faith, if I'm not close to the Lord because I want to do for me, I have this alter ego that carries a lot of values I don't like, because those values are selfish and prideful. We all have that same ability, and when we are in that place, it is hard for us to hear the voice of Jesus. I got a last question, one last question. What are we going to do with the remaining time that we have left here on earth? There's going to come a day when we're not here any longer. We don't know when that time is. It's just the way it is. As individuals, none of us knows that answer. Are we going to have regrets that we could have done more and should have done more for our Lord? All of these questions are of eternal value. I have just one more thing I'd like to share with you. When I was about 15, my dad brought me a poster home one day. And I used to love to water ski. I thought about nothing else hardly. Studying magazines, looking at that videos, just different things. But this is why it meant so much to me. He brought me a poster home one day, and I had on the poster there was a picture of a guy just ripping it up. with this wall of water hanging over top of him. And he just had this grin on his face. And on the poster it said, "We depend on your daily performance." And that just meant something to me. You know, that was important, what was on that poster. Well, folks, let me tell you this morning. Today and every day, Jesus our Christ, Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior, says, "I depend on your daily performance." Are we going to do enough here at Francis Asbury to support our Lord? Would you please stand for our last hymn? "Have thine own way, Lord." If you need to come down to the altar this morning and get closer to Jesus or give him your life, today is the day. It's not too late. It's not for me. It's not for Fred. It's not for anybody in here. It's for you. It's between you and God. Nobody else. If you do that, it's done. Let's sing our song.
Benediction will be our blessing. Please join us for the luncheon over in the fellowship hall. Please bow your heads. Thank you, Lord, for this day that you have provided for us. Lord, your glory and all that you are is enough for us. Lord, we pray that you would have your way with us, Lord. Work on us and mold us to be your servants. Lord, we ask for blessing upon the food. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've provided. And we thank you for the hands that has prepared our meal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.